Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestle Radio Aftermath. Sorry about the late deal with some technical difficulties. Please stand by. You know the fun stuff. B-Train is back. He's official co-host now, officially. So, welcome to the show, sir.
How's it going, sir?
It's doing great. We had some technical difficulties getting all of our stuff ready to rock and roll. But tonight, we have a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to the world of pro wrestling. We have Clash Champions to talk about. We got Raw to talk about. We got SmackDown Live to talk about. And then we should hopefully get our guest in the next few minutes in the form of a suplex cyclone known as the Spider Assassin, Kurt Gannon. He'll be on with us momentarily. And we'll get right kicking off of the show. And also I got some announcements that I'm going to make in a little bit. Plus, I just want to update us on what shows we'll be at in the next coming weeks. So B-Train, how you been doing, brother?
Well, I'm glad my team could win on time, yo. I mean, your team, holy crap, is meandering around, pushing the show back just a smidgen. Cup of haters. The Twins are a cup of haters. They don't want a wrestling podcast that is the bomb diggity to be on tonight, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I was out celebrating my anniversary, but both of us decided to go to baseball games. The Yankees got the job done on their end.
Yeah, they did.
And the Royals are still playing. But we have actually our guest coming on right now, and this man is I know him. He's a very very intense a performer. He is known throughout the Midwest as the Spider Assassin. He's also known as the Suplex Cyclone. He is known, from all of us in the Midwest, he's known as Kurt Gannon. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not too shabby.
Going fine for me.
Fine for him. Not too great for me. But let's talk a little bit of wrestling, shall we, since we got a bunch of wrestling to get to. Let's start out with you, Kurt. You've got some shows you're going to be at coming up in the next, probably over the next 4 weeks-ish, or over the next month. Let's just say over the next month. You got SXCW. Actually, coming up on the 15th, you got New Breed up on the 22nd. You've got PCXW this weekend. Looks like you got a lot going on.
Yeah, all of October, man. I've got quite a bit of stuff going on. I've got a couple shows left with KCXW. Which is the 1st and the 30th of October. After that, I'm going to be kind of going off and venturing off to do some other stuff. And SICW, I'm super excited for the head out there, debut with them. And actually, it will be my first time debuting on Fight TV also, if you know a little bit about Fight TV, Fight TV is actually owned by one of the owners is Jim Ross. So, I mean, it's been pretty awesome exposure. Oh, yeah, some pretty awesome exposure.
Yeah, and then I must actually have some new breed here toward the end of October. But I know you said for FXCW since this will be your very first FXCW event, being a participant, and for those of you who don't know, Fight TV, there's actually an app on your phone. Go check it out. It's called Fight, F-I-T-E, not F-I-G-H-T. It's F-I-T-E app. You can go and watch Cannon probably go and kill somebody in the FCW.
Not just kill. You forget. This man can murderize people in the ring. If you haven't already noticed, I've managed this gentleman, and trust me, there's a reason why they call him the mayor of the City of Destruction, the Suplex Cyclone, emblematic man who basically will make or break someone in the ring. Sorry, I had to Heyman it up. He's one of my favorite clients that I work with, Jake. Just so you know, Mr. Gannon and I, we go our separate ways sometimes in bookings. I have less, he has more, because why? He is a future, and I say future, guy in the E or New Japan. It doesn't matter. This guy, if you haven't seen him, folks, come out this Saturday, October 1st, KCXW at Soccer Nation. Sorry, cheap plugs, Jake. I had to get him in. I'm in traffic.
Sorry.
I'm bored. I'm bored, and I have to have cheap plugs. Yes, I do.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be actually at KCXW this weekend over at Soccer Nation, just completely down the street from the Turner Rec Center, and then also he'll be at SICW in Conway, Illinois. I believe that's where that is.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be in Conway, Illinois, and then they'll be at New Breed Wrestling in Eldon, Missouri, on October 22nd. And then, and of course, we'll be back at K6W on the 30th, which I have no idea where that show is going to be at. But it's probably going to be at the same place. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is the same place.
but, yeah.
That's
just
putting it mildly, isn't it, gentlemen? We don't know where it's going to be, but it's going to be somewhere. I mean, oh, well.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
But then, you just wrestled actually at KCXW at Takeover 3, which in a very dominant performance at KCXW, and you went one on one with the Purple Phoenix, which, yeah, you just, which I was at that show. And of course, my co-host was gladly managing you, and we watched as you just tore this dude apart. So You have SICW coming up. Will we see more of this, or possibly a more vivid side of you at SICW?
Oh yeah. I plan on definitely bringing what people know as strong style to SICW. I plan on coming after their title, and it's gonna be the same, man. Anybody who gets in my way, I'm gonna suplex them and I'm gonna choke them out. So.
Fair enough from there. You can go ahead. Go ahead.
You see, he's a man of few words. All he speaks with is his actions. And well, you know, I mean, the fight, if you will, but not much. Like you said, he's either going to beat you or he's going to make you tap. That is, if you can get your hand up while he's got you in the arachne clutch. Or that is, if you're still standing after the millionth suplex he gives you. I'm just saying, Kurt, you know, a lot of people don't know this about him. They see him, they think, oh, ground and pound. He's a lot more versatile than that. So my suggestion is to the opponents who face him, be very weary. Don't underestimate what Kurt Gannon is capable of. I'm just saying this. He's such a good competitor in there. You know, it gives, you know, fair competition, if you will. But when all is said and done, the Spider Assassin lays waste to his victims most of the time. So you either beat him or you die trying.
Yeah,
completely agree with that.
Well, one thing I can say, I can give props to Purple Phoenix. You know, even though, you know, he kind of went through the ass kicking that he took, he still kept going. You know, he didn't back down. So I will give him props for that here in my respect. But at the end of the day, it was still. Just going to be him landing the ring and me standing victorious over the top of him.
Yeah. And then you have actually KCXW this Saturday. I don't know who your opponent is because KCXW don't like to announce their full cards like other promotions do. But do you actually have a message for whoever you're facing this Saturday?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, man. I honestly don't know who I will be facing this Saturday. They kind of just feed me whoever, and, you know, I kind of just draw them from there. So my message is probably, you know, look at Purple Phoenix. Look what happened to him. You know, you can be brave, you can be strong, and you cannot back down. But at the end of the day, I'm going to choke you out.
No pun intended on the feed me part, right?
Well, to add
I'm sorry,
to
I
had what,
to throw that out there.
Well, to add what Kurt said, you may be brave, you may be big, you may be small, you may be tall. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, really, all the opponents that have come in Kurt's path have figured out Kurt's not here to play games. He's here to beat some ass. And obviously, KCXW has thrown a lot of guys his way. And some have gotten fortunate. Some not so fortunate. So we're all three in the same boat because we don't know who the fuck he's going to face. But at the same token, it's just a waiting game to see who the next victim for Mr. Gannon will be. That's all I have to say.
And pretty much what I'm going to say, no matter who you're going against, they're getting dropped on the back of their head, right?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the plan. Yeah, for sure.
Someone's going to end up dropped on the back of their head. And then you have also New Breed Wrestling coming up in for the end of October. This will be... last I heard, is you're teaming with somebody, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like. I've not been able to keep up with everything, but I'm learning everything because I'm branching out to other promotions like you are and like Beast Trainers and so many other men love this business as much as we do. But last I checked, you were teaming up in a tag match with somebody against another team.
Yeah, that's the plan for New Breed. I'm supposed to be tagging with Alex Gittrett and going to be going up against Ricky Cruz and his partner. You have to forgive me. I can't remember exactly who his partner is. But I do know this is supposed to be Ricky's last match. He's supposed to be retiring after this, so we'll see what happens. You know, you never know how that is, you know, with wrestling. If some people say they retire, then all of a sudden they decide they're not going to, so we'll see. But
what's also interesting is that, like, I've talked to other wrestlers who say that they're retiring. It's like, but the words of another guy that I've had on the show. He says there's no such thing as retiring in the business of professional wrestling. You just stop taking bookings.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. You can go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if it is his retirement match, kind of sucks. It's got to be up against me because, as much as, I think every guy should get that glory moment for their retirement match, I'm still proving a point and he's still standing in my way. And I'm going to tear through him and whoever else I have to.
This is great.
To eventually get your hands on that new breed heavyweight title that they just created, and now it's got an official title holder. So, we'll see how it looks after October 22nd because I know the main event is Bosworth versus Superstar C for the heavyweight championship. So.
Yeah, actually, Steve actually won it at the last New Breed show. So he's holding it right now. That was when the champion was crowned. But yeah, next is going to be between Bosworth and Superstar Steve whoever it's going to be. I'm coming after him so they can hold that title and cherish it for as long as they can possibly can until I get a hold of them.
There we go. And then, and of course you have that last PCXW show, which I think will be your last, because you're going on to do other things in life and do really cool stuff. But, and plus, I know you've done some stuff, like other stuff. I think you were an extra for the WWE, I think, a show. Actually, how'd that go for you?
It was a pretty awesome experience going into WWE and being able to work with them. I've actually worked for them a couple of times before. It's kind of one of those toss-up things, though, if they need you to be on TV or not. And the third time I was there, I got to be I got lucky enough to get the opportunity to go on TV and, play an extra on the show. Definitely a whole other experience in that locker room. But it was pretty awesome to be able to sit in there and, look around and be like, this is where I want to be. This is where I belong, got to talk to a few of the guys there. That were, very cool. Kevin Owens being one of them, gave out some awesome advice. But it was definitely a pretty awesome experience.
It seems like it'd be a very, very, very fun experience. Beatrice, do you actually have any questions?
For my running mate, dude. Yeah, on October 30th, man. I mean, what's going to be running through our minds since my co-host, or the host, neglected to mention the fact that it's B-Train's last showing, too, and Kurt Gannon's last showing as well. Let me ask you this, Kurt. What's going to be running through your mind on the last show for KCXW? I mean, do you feel like this is, the last Raw is just like kind of show, or is it going to be like, man, I'm glad to be not, going through this mess every Saturday or Sunday? Or is it going to be like a peaceful goodbye? What I'm asking is it going to be that moment when you go, all right, cool, time to move on to bigger and badder things? Or, man, I'm sad to see this thing go.
I'm looking forward to moving on to bigger and better things. I don't know. There's a part of me that it's probably going to, miss, some of it. And then there's another part of me that says, it's time. It's time to go. I'm unfortunately, you know, if that's the way it is in this business, is you have to keep expanding, you have to keep going, and if you get stuck in one spot, you're not going to get anywhere. It's just the way it is.
Exactly. So let's see here. The only other question I can think of, well, actually I have two more. Throughout all the seminars that you've been to, which one did you find most beneficial? Because I went with you to Sammy's and Charlotte, and I went to Brutal Bob's, and I was not fortunate enough to go to the Colt Cabana seminar. Well, out of all the seminars, what personal gain do you, or what knowledge did you take away from each seminar? I mean, which one did you enjoy the most? Which one did you not feel so beneficial? I mean, I'm pretty sure all of them have been beneficial, but question to you is, out of all the seminars, which one did you think stood out the most in your mind out of all the ones you've attended?
Probably the one that I really enjoyed the most was probably Sammy Callahan's. Sammy just had a lot to, you know, teach as far as in the ring psychology and everything. And, you know, and if you watch any of his work, he's an amazing worker. And not only did he teach, like, in the ring stuff, he actually took the time to sit down with us afterwards and say, hey, you know, this is how, you know, you need to be backstage. This is now you need to, how you need to build yourself, you know, and all this other stuff that's vital to the business that I feel like a lot of guys don't take advantage of. I can't really say that I didn't like get anything from any of the seminars or that I didn't benefit from any of them because, I mean, everybody had something new to teach. Anytime I get to learn with somebody new, you know, it's beneficial to me. You know, like right now I'm at KC Pro Wrestling, and I've done stuff with Trevor Murdoch and Dangerous Derek McQueen from, you know, one of the original, he was one of the trainers from Harley Race's camp. And I've learned a lot from them. I've trained with other guys like Mike Seidel, Matt Seidel's little brother. Learned a lot from him, stuff that he's brought over from Japan. So, I mean, everybody's got something that they can teach and you can benefit from. So, like I said, I really can't say that there's anywhere that I've gone and trained or with any seminar where I haven't learned something and benefited from to be able to apply to my craft now.
All right. This more or less segues into one of my final questions, but Jake, if you don't mind, this ain't going to be a question. This is going to be a direct shout out and a thank you to Curtis, because, you know, when I bumped into this cat 5 years ago at Sidepox and I bumped into him again, you know, he's been the only one that has really been supportive, if you will, you know, and a lot of the young bucks coming up in the business like myself really needed a guide, and Kurt's been one of those guides that, you know, is a constant sponge. He always, even if you ask him advice, he's the one that says, you got to keep learning, man. You got to get yourself out there. And I'm going to segue into the question before I get all fucking mushy. Pardon my French. I'm going to ask you this question, man. The ultimate goal, obviously, for every wrestler may be different. It's not just about WrestleMania. I know that you've told me and a few others countless times that you would like to go to Japan. Aside from Japan and WrestleMania, what is your ultimate goal overall as a performer, as a worker?
There's so many goals that I've got set for myself. You know, I'm one of those people that I make small goals and, you know, and try to build from those. But, I mean, I think my ultimate goal is going to have to be, you know, what majority of wrestlers want is to make it to the big time, make it to the WWE and, you know, say that I was there, you know, and that I did some time there, you know. And ultimately, you know, I want to be one of those guys, too, that people can look at and go, well, if he could do it, I can do it. If he can go through all the things that he went through, make all the sacrifices that he did, I can do it too. Mm. So, I mean, that would be my ultimate goal.
I mean, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Spider Assassin, Kurt Gannon. Let me tell you something about this guy. No matter what he says, he may come off a certain way to you. I really don't think so, because to me, this cat right here, bada boom, humblest dude in the room. And I say that because even if he beats three guys in a three-on-one handicap match, he's still going to come out on the microphone and say, you got to give these guys props. They fought their asses off, but I still came out victorious. What I gather away from this whole, you know, question series with him is he's got things he has got his eyes set on. And that's SICW, it's KCXW, it's New Breed. But one at a time, one promotion at a time, this guy. Because by far, if you haven't seen any of his matches, you need to check him out. He's got a Facebook, he's got a Twitter, he's also got an Instagram. Yeah, I'm promoting the hell out of him, because why? I've managed him. And not just for that, it doesn't give me entitlement. I'm not going to piss around, circle around him and mark my fucking territory, but I am going to tell you, if you haven't checked out Kurt Gannon, be sure to check him out. He's got videos on his Facebook page. He's got pictures on his Instagram. He's even got a ProWrestlingTeeStore.com, you know, ProWrestlingTee.com, Kurt Gannon. You can check it out. He's got two shirts, maybe three, available right now. So I guess that's all I really have aside from promoting him and rambling on like a fucking lunatic that I am. But
I have one question. Got one.
Okay.
I have a question as in, out of anybody who's current WWE or current professional wrestler, is there an opponent that you would like to get in the ring with? Like, if you had the chance to like, have a contract with any guy you'd want to face and get in the ring with, who would it be?
That's kind of a tough one. I don't think there's really one guy. There's a few guys that I can name off. Sami Callihan being one. I think me and him could have a pretty intense, you know, kick-ass match. And a few guys from WWE that I've always wanted to face. Austin Aries, who is amazing in the ring, amazing on the mic. In my opinion, is very underrated in WWE. Samoa Joe, because we have a very similar style. And the last one, and it's going to be kind of funny, but the last one would be Brock Lesnar. I would like to bring the fight to Brock Lesnar like no one's business.
Yeah, that's about all I got.
Since Beecher kind of asked
all my questions, but that was all right.
I asked all your questions, Mike. Lord, man, it's like a war on our own podcast. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. He said the magic word.
You and I
Lesnar.
Have the exact same minds in his business. So I mean, our minds constantly think alike.
That's very true. That is very true. But he said something interesting. He said Lesnar. That means the man that, well, I've been compared to
Paul
Heyman.
The mayor of Suplex City versus the mayor of destruction. And then also you got Paul Heyman versus B-Train.
I humbly accept the promo challenge.
It wouldn't just be a promo challenge, it'd be almost exact replicas of each other.
I always say with the Suplex City, you know, you got the Suplex Cyclone, it's gonna tear it down. So, yeah, and I won't be just throwing out a bunch of Germans. No, I do a lot more than that.
And he can actually pass a pee test.
Oh.
So
oh.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying
already.
Yeah, Heyman wants to be the, he wants to say that Lesnar beat down Randy Orton. Well, I'm sorry, I saw that horrific fest in fucking SummerSlam because I was at Barclays, by the way. When you see 16 Germans in a row, that really shows that you don't have fucking range. No, I'm not going to go into a B-Train rant as of right now because I'll save that for later. But
I mean, we're not inside an octagon, and I think Lesnar tends to forget that. And I think if he wants to do that with Kurt, Kurt will gladly introduce him to a bunch of submission maneuvers, because Lesnar freaks out when he gets punched in the face. And I'm pretty sure, I'm just throwing this out there, if Kurt does make it to WWE while Lesnar is still part-timing it, wink, wink, then we'll see. We'll see who's suplex machine, suplex cyclone, suplex bear, suplex whatever, comes out victorious. Because why? I guarantee you, my client does not back down from one Brock Lesnar. He has no fear.
Well, and I know you think there's going to be people out there going to be like, oh, Brock Lesnar, you know, he's a UFC champ, he's a badass, blah, blah, blah. I've got my own extensive background in martial arts and real world combat, and you know, I'm not just the rage, just all talk, so I think I could definitely give him a run for his money.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, Curtis can actually talk. Lesnar cannot really talk. I don't need to get on the microphone like Mr. Paul Heyman. I admire Heyman because, well, I look up to him. But unfortunately, his clients lately have been on a, well, one of them is not on a sabbatical. He's trying to charge $4,500 for indie show. Ryback, anybody? Lesnar shows up every 3-4 months. So what does Kurt have to prove? I mean, he has to build up his reputation, and he's already doing that on the indie circuit. When he gets past the indies and faces the falsity that is Brock Lesnar and dethrones him, and people are not going to be chanting Suplex City, it'll turn from Suplex City to Suplex Cyclone.
And then also to get another perspective. In the WWE currently, there's maybe three guys who I think can actually have three guys that I know can give Brock Lesnar a run for his money. One of those men being Samoa Joe, one of those men being the King of Strong Style himself, and I think also if anybody else would probably take a chance that actually has a legit chance. I can name two. I forgot the third. It slipped my mind just now, but I got two. But out of those two, which do you see actually having the better chance of defeating Brock Lesnar?
I'm going to have to, I mean, honestly, I'd probably say Samoa Joe. The guy's just a beast. Don't get me wrong, Nakamura's got his own extensive background in martial arts. He's a bad dude also, and him and Brock have actually gone at it in Japan quite a few times in New Japan. But Samoa Joe, man, he's known to be, you know, a badass. Even behind the scenes in the locker room, he's just known to be a tough dude. He's a pretty humble dude, you know, back in the locker room, from what I understand. But, you know, he's still a tough guy. And I think, you know, if any of the two could definitely give him a run for his money, it'd be Samoa Joe. And I'd love to see that match.
I agree 100%.
That's all I got. I got one more. I'm sorry, I'm being with questions as I go along. If you had to choose another promotion besides the WWE, besides New Japan, what other promotions would you like to get into, other than like the ones in the Midwest?
I'm actually trying to venture out of the Midwest right now. I'm working on trying to get into NWA. I kind of got some small goals that I want to, you know, make for the indie scene, and one of them is, you know, wrestling for NWA at a you know, a very credible NWA promotion. Also would like to, you know, try it out in the AWA promotion. But I mean, there's all kinds of places that I would love to work. I mean, I'd love to go to PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, or Ring of Honor. I think, you know, besides for WWE, my other top goal is New Japan. Well, I'd love to go to Dragon Gate, but I mean, New Japan is the one place that I want to go. I mean, there's all kinds of places that I'd be willing to work. Heck, I'd even be willing to go to Mexico and work for AAA a little bit. Just try to get my name as much as possible out there, man. I think those are some of the main ones. I mean, it might be kind of cool to go and wrestle for Lucha Underground. They've got kind of a cool product going on right now. It's different. It's very interesting. And it can't really compare any of the other promotions to Lucha Underground, since they're kind of going for like that movie style. But that's kind of the one that I can think of the most.
Okay. Now that's all I got, because I can't think of anything else on the fly.
Are you sure?
I'm definitely sure. Other than the fact that there's a promotion up in Iowa that I'm excited for. Dino B-Train is excited for, which I can officially give the green light and say that me and B-Train will be at that promotion in Iowa coming up October 28th at Clive, Iowa, where it's pretty much Iowa Goes Lucha, where we get to see pretty much Lucha Ground 101 mixed with a little bit of Fantasy, a little bit of Ring of Honor, a little bit of all that in one promotion. I don't know if you want to, which I don't know where I was going to go with that, but I got the green light for that. Is there any last things you would like to plug? On the way out the door.
No, I mean, B-Train kind of covered most of it, but I'll kind of reiterate it. If everybody gets a chance, go and follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. You should be able to plug in Kurt Gannon, and it should pull up my accounts. I'm playing with Facebook. And I also got a couple of T-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Go check them out and, show your support.
Go
and get
one. Go buy one.
For sure.
Because I own two. I need to get the third one. BJ, anything else?
Well, like I said, I don't know, Kurt, if you caught the last podcast, which I've been telling you about. I'm not going to go too into detail. I'll let you listen to it when you have direct time. But I did, and I'm going to reiterate my points about Kurt, and that is he's deserved, he's hardworking, and eventually I believe my friend, it's very rare to have friends in this business, and I believe in my heart, in my mind, I will see my friend stand at WrestleMania as a champion. And I don't care if it's the IC title, tag team champion, whatever. He works his ass off. So, by all means, what I said last week was he's the most loyal human being I've known. You don't piss him off because he can find ways to, basically either beat your ass or, light a fire under your ass. And I just want to say, thank you for not abandoning, if you catch my drift, because the two of you know who I'm referring to. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but eventually, if you do what you do in this business to latch on and take advantage in the wrong way, you're going to end up real sour and real bitter And thank God, you know, you and Kurt are ones keeping me somewhat sane through my bipolar craziness. I just want to say one more thing before Kurt exits. That thank you, brother. Take time to come to our podcast. I'll see you Saturday. And, you know, only things can go up from here. That's all I'm going to say, man. Thanks for being on. Yeah, thank you for being on the show. And I'll turn it over to Jake now.
All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Yeah, you all have a good night.
You too. You as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kurt Gannon with an excellent, excellent interview tonight. If you guys have not seen this man, go look up. I'm pretty sure he's got videos up on YouTube. Go check those out. If not, go see him this Saturday at KCXW Destiny at the Soccer Nation. Go see him at SICW on the 15th up in Conway, Illinois. You can go see him also at New Breed Wrestling in Eldon, Missouri, October 22nd. And also, at KCXW on the 30th. So, I'm going to run through these announcements really, really quick before we hop on to our WWE rant. I see everything that was wrong with WWE as of recent. As you guys all know, I'll be at KCXW this Saturday. I'll be at Metro Pro next Saturday. I'll be at SICW wherever B-Train's going, that's where I'm going to be at. Every weekend.
Yes.
Except for next weekend. But there's that. Also, last night, I put out two T-shirts. If you head over to the Wrestle Radio Network Facebook page, you can go and check out those shirts and get one. Because the cutoff date is October 11th, which will be the release of WWE 2K17 on that same day. I can't release all my guests yet, but I'll be teasing some in the next couple of weeks. I guess we'll get into our WWE.
All right, so what are we starting off with? Class of Champions?
We're going to go ahead and start. Let's start Sunday and work all the way to tonight, shall we? We're going to start back out with the Class of Champions pay-per-view, which overall I thought the pay-per-view was okay. Some matches could have went better. But let's kick off what was the pre-show of the Clash of Champions pay-per-view as Nia Jax went one-on-one with Alicia Fox, which me and B-Train both knew that Nia was just going to just lay waste to Alicia Fox because this for us is a Karma 2.0 for us. But, with Nia Jax getting the W, I guess they're going to push her as the monster woman in the WWE?
You know, honestly, I think that's the direction they're headed. And it's, I don't know, for me, dude, like, honestly, I'm kind of ticked off because I had hoped that Karma would return. Simply because I'm not saying Nia's a terrible competitor. I really honestly, I don't know what to make of this whole thing because I we've seen how dominant women last in WWE. It, you know, with Chyna, she was lucky she had a long run. With Jackie or Jazz or women that have come before Nia that have, you know, lasted in the I'm dominant heel role. So it's like, dude, Oda Real, why are you putting another dominant woman in the front running? I'm not saying I have anything against it, but we all know the trend that happens to said dominant woman. So it's like, I have irritation with it. I don't think she should have faced Alicia Fox. And again, I'm just the fan that says I don't think she should face said person. I don't really agree with what WWE did. Because we all know, okay, yeah, Alicia Fox could have pulled off the victory, and then what credibility would Nia had? After all, this Leviathan, if you will, she's dominating, but it's getting irritating. It's just the same thing that they're doing with Bo Dallas. Why? Who is going to beat Nia Jax is the thing that they're playing, or the gimmick that they're playing. So it's just like,
The sort of was for me was like the NXT time when she was down in NXT. This is how they started her until she was finally beaten by Bayley. That NXT. Will this be sort of the same route? I think that's how they're going to go, but that's just my point of view. Let's move on. We had the New Day defend the WWE Raw World Tag Team Champions against the Club, which, to me, I thought this should have been one of the three title changes. Well, one of the two title changes. Because I think the New Day have gotten stale. The New Day has gotten pretty much the New Day has ran its course. But I think it was time for the New Day to finally drop the tag team titles. But the New Day did retain the tag team titles by defeating the Club via pinfall to retain the tag team titles.
Okay, so you have them retained. What is the next possible step for just, I don't know, WWE to me, if they put so much emphasis on a group, you know, they ride their success, right? New Day was doing great. T-shirts were selling, they still are selling, and people are still saying, oh, that's booty, man. But the point is, they should have at least had another team in there. And I'm going to reiterate this so that no matter who hears this, this is very positive criticism or constructive criticism. When you call up Enzo and Cass and you have not given them one opportunity to go up against the tag team champions who, no offense, they have run their course. They're not terrible competitors. However, if you watch the tail of the tape, Triple H, you know, behind the scenes was, you know, so happy to call up Enzo and Cass. Why in the fuck would you mess with a good thing? They sell more t-shirts than New Day. Hell, they even sell more shirts than John fucking Cena. And he's all the way over on SmackDown. They are selling more shirts than AJ Styles. Not just their t-shirt sales, dude. They have the crowd behind them. They have, you know, the contingencies to be a number one contender. And now, I know this is going to fast forward into Monday Night Raw just a little bit, but why in the hell Cesaro and Sheamus gets a shot before Enzo and Cass? I'm going to go off on a fucking tirade just a little bit because number one contendership basically should be for Enzo and Cass. Not because of hometown bias, but because if you're smart, they need to do it because, look, I can't believe New Day, I'm sorry, their run ended long before SummerSlam. Like, the minute that they started not, you know, defending their tag team championships and then they just started doing promos in the ring, I'm sorry, I lose respect for you as a tag team and I get bored with you as a fan. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying that Kofi Kingston is terrible. I'm not saying that Big E is terrible. I think that if you give them life, make them have life again, you're going to have to do something really dramatic.
Then we go from that to TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight Championship. This is TJ Perkins' first title defense for the Cruiserweight title. A very game Brian Kendrick. Perkins defeats Kendrick via knee bar, via submission. I can tell you this. I liked, me being a fan of the Cruiserweights, I actually thought this match was actually really, really good. And not just the match was just really, really good. I liked actually TJ Perkins' entrance. It's actually a Mega Man approved.
You know, that's why I like this kid. The colleague that was just on right now, let's just say this, he's, you know, a critique, a submission specialist. When you perform the knee bar, you know, at least make it look legit. That's the only thing. I'm not a worker, so I can't really say, well, you know, your hold was not legit. But I am going to say this. The match between Kendrick and Perkins, you're right. It was, I give that match an A-, a minus being because of the one said knee bar, and that's it. The other spots in the matches, oh my God, dude. Like, I was glued to my TV, or actually the TV at a Buffalo Wild Wings, because they actually, the bar owner actually put on his WWE Network, which is cool. So, I got to say, dude, you know, the Cruiserweight division is not disappointing. Ever since they've been in WWE, they have not disappointed. This match between Perkins and Kendrick, you've got to hand it to both. They did an exceptional job.
And for those of you that are just coming back to the WWE, like just coming to watch it for the first time, I would go recommend getting the WWE Network and watching the entire Cruiserweight Classic from beginning to end, because there was literally no bad matches, but there was also matches that literally had a lot of five-star potential or match of the year candidate. For example, one of those matches is featuring another guy, which we'll get to later, named Cedric Alexander, and he went one-on-one with Kota Ibushi. That match is really good. The semifinals match between TJ Perkins and Kota Ibushi. That match is really good. But you guys need to go back and watch at the Cruiserweight Classic, because that entire tournament was probably one of the best things that WWE probably has ever done, and I expect to see another one within the next year or so.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was excellent, like my broadcast partner was saying. If you have not caught any of the Cruiserweight Classic material, my suggestion is you hop on WWE.com, you get you a WWE subscribe to the network. It's only $9.99. It's free for your first time.
Wait. Yeah, there you go. If you're a new subscriber, it's free for the first month.
Yep.
So now we're plugging WWE. But
yep, we're plugging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying, the Cruiserweight Classic is by far one of the best things that could have ever been brought to WWE. So please, by any means, watch it.
If not, I can't afford the WWE Network. A lot of the stuff is actually on YouTube. Go check it out, because you don't want to miss a lot of it, because a lot of those matches were really, really good, and it made me feel like I was watching like the old cruiserweights back in WCW. It did. Definitely go check that out. And definitely also, if you didn't watch Clash Champions, go and check out that match as well, because that match was actually a very stellar contest between those two men. We're going to move on. We have Sheamus going one-on-one versus Cesaro. I thought this match, it was hard-hitting. A lot of near falls, which we will get into Raw here momentarily, which I think the WWE after this is completely stupid. So me and B-Train will probably rant about this for about 10 minutes. But the thing is, but it ended in a no contest. But I feel like the end of the match, both men were still wanting to go, which me, I expected an eighth contest. But we will get into that later. But again, I thought this match was actually very, very good, especially for the fact that both men were hard-hitting this entire match. I say for me it was the best match of the night. One of the three best matches of the night.
I agree. The match was hard-hitting. You know, unfortunately, if you didn't catch Clash of Champions, my partner and I saw a very vicious tope done by Cesaro, and makes your neck cringe.
It reminded me of the Lita Trish match back in 2004. It reminded me of that because Lita did the exact same tope, and she landed right on the top of her head and actually legitimately broke her neck. I thought Cesaro I thought he literally broke his neck in this match, but turned out he was perfectly fine. He was able to wrestle the next night on Raw.
And you know something? Yeah. Cesaro's one tough bastard because, you know, guaranteed if that were female,
I guarantee you
something smaller.
So I guess the Swiss Superman actually fits Cesaro. I guess that moniker is not a fake, but we'll go from there. But then again, yeah, this match is hard hitting back and forth. If you guys go check out Clash of Champions, because if you want to watch, yeah, it was not the best ending, but it was a damn good match. It was a good 20-minute match. It was really, really good. Then we move to Jericho versus Sami Zayn, with Jericho defeating Zayn via pinfall. This match for me, I think it could have went better. I think it could have been a little better, but with Jericho getting the W via pinfall over the normal stuff, but I still think the match could have went a lot better than it was.
Like I said, you know, sometimes you have Jericho that gives you an A-plus match. Zayn and Owens have worked several times together in their previous days at PWG. However, yeah, you're right. It could have been better. But I honestly think, dude, that if you watch the match all the way through, there's a couple moments in there that could have gone a lot smoother. You know, I don't, like I said, I'm only a manager. I watch these guys, you know, from the outside, and I don't sit there and go, well, you know, you could have done that better. Because like I said, dude, on the prior podcast, never count Jericho out. Because a lot of people were already, oh, you know, Zayn's going to upset Jericho. He still hasn't done it yet, and Jericho's the wily veteran, you know. He can pull one out when he needs to, so I'm power to him. I mean, he's Chris Jericho.
I agree. Then we head to our triple threat match. This is one of the other matches that I thought the title might have should have changed hands at, but Charlotte defeats Bayley and Sasha via pinfall to retain the Raw Women's Championship. But the only reason why Charlotte's still champion is because of Dana Brooke. I'm sorry, that's complete honesty. But I actually think that this match should have been, don't get me wrong, this is actually a really good match, but I think that Charlotte doesn't need the Women's Championship.
I don't see, my thing is like this, okay, so a lot of people...
keep in mind, this is from a fan's point of view.
I think that a lot of people will say she doesn't need the Women's Championship. Well, Sasha's kind of turning, if you notice, she doesn't really mind Bayley competing against her. I'm just noticing things on Monday Night Raw, the night after Night of Champions. Sasha really doesn't care who she beats. Yeah, Sasha gets, you know, in the match, and she should have won that match maybe once or twice. Again, without Dana Brooke, it would have been a different story, obviously, for Charlotte, maybe, maybe not. But I honestly think that Charlotte could afford to have maybe lost the belt and then gained it back, you know, the next night and make history. Or she could have lost the belt and then, you know, kept making her case that she's the only deserved woman in WWE to go for the championship. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios that can play out. But in my mind, who is the number one person that if you want to put her in a legitimized role as a dominant female figure, Nia Jax, I hate to say this, but Nia Jax, you put her in the mix, why isn't she facing Charlotte? Why isn't she the women's champion? She's dominating all these other women. Why not put her up against Charlotte and make a point? Because not all women's champions have been pretty, if you catch my drift. Look at Aja Kong. Look at LaShawn. Look at China. The Fabulous Moolah. For God's sakes, man, they don't need to make her the ultimate women's champion. Are they trying to turn her into Moolah's gimmick? Because that's my only question mark is, what are you trying to prove? So, like, I don't understand. Maybe it's just me. I honestly don't understand the concept of why, if you have a dominant female on your roster, why are you not putting her in place where she, in just my opinion, why are you not using her? You're just making her a circus act, and that's, oh, she's a big female competitor, and she can beat all the other small competitors. Like, that's such bullshit, dude. Why, if you have people on your card that can do something, why are you not doing something? That's creative's fault right there. That's whomever is in charge of making that decision to Charlotte should be champion because of Daddy's name has nothing to do with it. It's the fact that they don't know what to do with Charlotte, and they, as in creative, does not know what to do with Nia Jax. But you and I could figure out a lot of shit to do with the female competitors on Monday Night Raw. If you give us time and you give us sheets, hell, man, you're like, okay, how to book 101. You play your cards
you
right.
Give
you can 30 actually...
minutes. If you gave me and him 30 minutes and he gave us a roster of all the female WWE Raw competitors, I'm pretty sure you and I could literally sit and book something else for Charlotte to do.
Well, I mean, dude, like, for instance, that pay-per-view at Clash of Champions, it's fucking annoying to see and witness Charlotte retain. You could have done something different, like have her lose the title and then, you know, have something on the Tron play. I mean, we're not the ones who plan out the matches. I get it. But at the same token, we say, okay, I want a dirty finish, and I want a dusty finish. And for those of you who don't know what that means, okay, the babyface thinks he or she's won the title, and then there's a replay on the Tron that says, no, you're not. Let's restart the match. Heel gets the victory. Okay.
I think that would have gone over better at Clash. I mean, like, honestly, dude, like, I love the women's division. I'm passionate about that.
I like on both Raw and SmackDown. Both sides are both bringing heavy game on both sides.
I think they're stepping it up because they realize fans don't want just a regular match. They want a story behind it. They want to get behind the women now because Stephanie McMahon said it best. You have got, you know, we are no, they're no, the title is no longer Divas. You guys are superstars.
Women.
You guys are women, and you guys deserve respect. And she's correct because these women bust their ass just as much as the men. But point is, what I thought overall of this match to get to the point, I wasn't happy because I know deep down planning could have been better. Planning the match out could have been better. It was a great match. There's nothing to take away from Sasha, Charlotte, or Bayley. But my God, man, if you over-gimmick Charlotte, you're not doing her a favor at all.
But let's move on. We have the semi-main being Roman Reigns versus Rusev for the United States Championship. I sort of called this a mile away because the fact that we're just going to keep getting Roman Reigns shoved down our throats. But Reigns is your new United States Champion via pinfall over Rusev. The match. Richard, I'm going to let you go ahead and do your spiel on this match.
So this is why I can't stand Roman Reigns. It's not because, you know, he's a bad guy. It's just when he gets in the ring with somebody, he no-sells the fuck out of a lot of shit. And when he faced Rusev at Clash of Champions, you're going to tell me that a human being takes X amount of time, right, to stand up after being put in the accolade? No. You have to be really, really, you know, look like you're struggling, you know, sell it a little bit, then get up, whatever. As I said, Roman is a good, decent human being after all, you know. Like I've told you before, being in the back with him, cool. There's some points of emphasis in this match. Like, when you get clotheslined, you would think that, you know, temporarily knocks someone down. Or when you get draped over the ropes. I saw a lot of no-sells between both, and that irritates me. I am not the promoter. I am not Triple H, I am not Stephanie, but I am a fan who happens to be a worker on the independent scene who is not an expert, but as I said, is an avid fan. And if you're going to have a filler match, stink up the place, I'm just going to say it. This match deserves an F because how in the fuck can you get up from being draped over the ropes? Like, any normal human being sells their chest, sells their throat, something. And when you spear, I've seen Rhino gore someone better. I've seen Goldberg, who really can't, you know, spear as of the moment, but I'm guarantee you could give a better version than Roman's, because it just, to me, is not believable. Like, his Superman punch. He hit it in the match twice. I'd have to rewatch it, but I know that he hit it some points in the matches, and that, like, if that's not enough to knock out Rusev, okay. But the way that Roman Reigns won the U.S. title, okay, who gives a shit? It was one of those, all right, we knew it was coming. Out of all the titles that could have changed hands, they pick Roman. Okay, well, that makes sense because you want an actual
guy who supposedly represents the company in the way of an American hero as Roman Reigns. Yeah, nothing says dark-complected dude as you're – not to be racist here because I'm dark-complected myself. But, you know, I get why the company did it because they had to continue the never-ending feud between – and boring, might I add, feud with one Roman Reigns and one Rusev. Lana got involved. She tried to pull out the referee. The referee, instead of disqualifying and doing the world a favor, decides, nope, you're not disqualified. You get out of here. Which in a normal match, for any other competitor, the manager not only would have been thrown out, but they would have been disqualified. So, again, this boggles my mind as a manager. Because the interference spot is, oh, he interferes, but I know what you're trying to do. I'm not going to disqualify you. I call bullshit, and I call company favoritism. Why? Because this asshole cannot pass a pee test either, and yet he gets a United States Championship match. Great. We're all supposed to be happy for Roman fucking Reigns. Dude, I'm so laughing right now because my friends and I were sitting at Buffalo Wild Wings watching this mess, and we go, okay, yeah, this is an obvious one. Without even getting our drinks, a waiter comes by and goes, Roman, I pick Roman. Like, even the fan base that is not for Roman knew that he was going to win the match. And to sum it all up, this is my take on it. If you're going to book a U.S. championship match, give it a gimmick. I don't know, leather strap, cage. It'd be more interesting if you did that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then go from that to a very stellar main event with Kevin Owens going one-on-one with Seth Rollins with the WWE Universal Championship on the line. This match, I think, was a great main event. Sorry for the crappy finish, but it's a wrestling show. You don't know what to expect. But thing is, though, Owens and Rollins both apparently Rollins had like a bruised rib, so he'll be back in action in the next 2 weeks. But this match was a great main event with Owens retaining the open ball.
You know, I wasn't too disappointed. I was expecting something to happen as usual, you know. I was expecting Jericho to come down to ringside, obviously, because, you know, it's not going to change hands. I mean, Seth, obviously has a lot of respect from the fans.
Yeah. Well, we were expecting Triple H, not Jericho, but we got Jericho.
Hey.
But, how it works. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say this, you know, Jericho's kind of a good film, but if it had been Triple H, yeah, you would have gotten a bigger pop. But in my opinion, even with Jericho going down there, it still was pretty damn decent pop. If you listen to the crowd, they kind of were not groaning, but Jericho filled in pretty good for, you know, if Triple H was expected, then you got Chris Jericho. And you know what? He's got a pretty big reputation, too.
Yeah. So I give the entire pay-per-view at least a B.
I agree.
SmackDown's first pay-per-view was actually really, really good, and I gave that one an A. But I gave this one a B because I think the entire show could have been a lot better. We're going to quickly run through Raw, and then we're going to quickly run through SmackDown. can get to a new segment that we're starting this week. We're going to run through Raw really quick. As I'm just going to go ahead and skip all the useless crap. The only really big thing that came out of Raw that we didn't have an eighth match between Cesaro and Sheamus. We had them become a tag team, which I don't know why. I was really hoping for an eighth match instead of another frickin', yeah. Got anything on that?
Well, here's my thing, dude. Cesaro, God. I know that they're trying to create an odd tag team, but this is
not
the
Sheamus
thing. I know, Sheamus, but I'm not a big fan of odd tag teams that you know that this era cannot keep their attention on one storyline unless they have good parents who taught them that wrestling is one big, you know, recycle bin for ideas. Rock, Sock Connection, anybody?
Yeah.
I know what they're going to call Sheamus and what's his face, Cesaro. I don't know what tag team combo names they're going to come up with, but if they win the tag team championships, I wouldn't be disappointed.
But, but we had a tag team title rematch with New Day versus Gallows and Anderson, with the New Day getting the victory. We had Bayley versus Anna Fields, versus a enhancement talent. Then we had the Cruiserweights, Cedric and Richie Swan versus Gulak and Lince Dorado. With Swan and Cedric get the W. And then we have the tag team of Cesaro and Sheamus defeating just a random tag team, not like some established team. And then we have Tony Nese versus TJ Perkins. And then we had the main event, Jericho and Owens versus Enzo and Cass, which I just thought Raw could have been better, too. I think Raw's tanking versus SmackDown, because SmackDown, I saw the ratings for both Raw and SmackDown last week. The Raw rating was a 1.7. SmackDown got an 8.3. SmackDown Live got an
8.3. SmackDown got an
8.3. Wow. Yeah. If that tells you, down's the A show and Raw's the B show.
That kind of proves my point of what I said last week. SmackDown has the A talent. Yeah.
So basically, Raw, that was Raw for the week. I mean, you get a 1.5 rating, and that's what you get.
Jeez, man.
That's bad.
I'm going to jump to SmackDown Live really quick. We had an 8-man tag, Usos and the Ascension versus American Alpha, and the WWE tag, the SmackDown tag team champions, Ryan and Heath Slater. Ascension and Usos get the victory. We got Nikki and Naomi versus Carmella and Natty, with Carmella getting the pinfall. Then we got Miz, which they announced the pay-per-view 2 weeks at the Mercy will be the Miz going against Ziggler. It's pretty much title versus career. The Intercontinental title, the Miz will be defending against Dolph Ziggler. If Ziggler loses, he will no longer be at the WWE. And we get some stupid promo to end SmackDown. So apparently SmackDown's 8.3 is apparently better, which I actually enjoy SmackDown a lot more than I do Raw now. Like back in the day, I used to love I used to love Raw more than SmackDown. But Raw needs to get their head out of their ass and actually start putting on better shows than SmackDown. But SmackDown's proven to be the better show.
I agree. Basically, if SmackDown had 8 point, wow, it's funny how my observation, and it has nothing to do with this, in an 8.3 rating, SmackDown I enjoy. Because why? Simply because they actually, I'm not saying Raw doesn't put on an effort, but it seems like they're so mundane. And like, now you have Bray Wyatt, you know, actually feuding with a credible superstar and Randy Orton. Their SmackDown's build-ups are a lot better. Their match quality is a lot better. I'm not saying that Monday Night Raw doesn't put on good match quality and that they don't have big names. It's just, if you're not, like I said earlier in the podcast, my friend, if you do not utilize your talent properly, then a lot of, you know, a lot of guys will start to question, why did you pull me up here? Why did you pluck me from NXT? That'd be like pulling a Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe and always putting them in mid-card matches with Sheamus and Cesaro. That's just an example. And if you don't know what to do with those four, guess what? 1.3 will be your result of your effort, and that's bad. Because not a lot of people have cable. Not a lot of people have access to Monday nights because they're either working or they're going out having fun. They're not necessarily paying attention like they used to back in the Attitude Era when everyone would be glued to their TV set because there was two competing companies. So to wrap this up, SmackDown, more power to you. And if you keep shoving Raw down in the dirt, well, I got to admit this, you know, there's going to be a lot of problems for Monday nights. That's all I'm going to say.
I completely agree. So I guess we're going to head into our, we're going to start a new segment this week. It's a B-Train segment. If you'd like to explain it.
The new segment is called B-Train's Tracks of Life. Basically, what this section is going to be, ladies and gentle folk, is me doing what I do best, and that's tirading about things that piss me the fuck off, not only in the professional wrestling business, but outside the professional wrestling business. It's basically going to be insight and intel through my mind,
okay,
what I think about certain something.
Before we start this, Raw had a 1.5, SmackDown had an 8.5.
So basically 7 point difference. That's bad. That's freaking bad, dude.
Before we end the show, I'll cut you off about around a minute and a half left, just so I get some last minute stuff out.
Okay.
All right, cool with that? All right.
This
is the B Trains. Walks of Life.
Yeah, B-Train's Tracks of Life. Here it is. What I'm going to discuss with you tonight, ladies and gentle folk of the wrestling podcast world, is it's a good point that Taz brought up in his podcast, and I'm a huge Taz fan, and what I'm going to bring up is behavior within a wrestling promotion that you are a part of. First and foremost, when you're part of a professional wrestling organization, I can't say anything because I've actually been the victim of three wrestlers' courts, okay? But that's a different story for a different day. I'm going to discuss certain things that kind of, irritate me, and that is not everybody is included or involved in your circle of events. So with that being said, I'm going to say this nicely. No one gives a fuck. Please stop sharing your shit. If you're not a big name or if your event is not happening, you know, just yet, don't shove it down people's throats. For flying fuck's sakes, man. What I'm referring to is don't hand out flyers during a Monday Night Raw or a Tuesday Night SmackDown Live, because I guarantee you, unless you have a legitimized name behind said school, you really shouldn't be handing out fucking flyers. And furthermore, if I see, you know, on Facebook that the event's coming up and you're proud of it, great. But holy fucking balls, dude. I don't need to see it 20 times on my newsfeed, because I am too a part of KCXW. That does not mean shove it directly in thy face, okay? You know, if you're going to share it, by all means, dude, there's ways of sharing, like a commercial. And this is another thing. Taz said it best. We, you know, as workers, tend to think that what we do in our little worker bubble is cool to us, but we forget that there's other people, and these other people, like, you know, normal fans, they don't really care. And also, if you're going to a professional wrestling school, by all means, please behave accordingly. That means do not be showing your friends moves when you're not a licensed professional. Okay? It gets on my everlasting nerve to read or see or hear about it. And, I, you know, it bugs the ever-living fuck out of me. Ever since, you know, 2 weeks ago that I quit, do I miss going to said wrestling school? I'm going to answer my own question because I'm like a psychopath. No, I don't, because I experience it's nice, you know, it's addictive, you gain a brotherhood, whatever, but at the same time, it became very cliquish. Don't, because you're going to find out when you branch out outside this business. This is a business, not a friendship business. I'll explain. When you tell the truth to individuals who don't want to hear it, you are automatically labeled the outcast. Or in my case, the truth teller? Only like two or three people actually appreciated me, man, after I told them what was wrong. Like, in other words, if you're in front of a crowd and you don't sell, you don't make noise, is that, let me ask you this, Jake, is it a very interesting match if the wrestlers don't make noise during strikes?
No.
Okay. Is it very interesting if you don't sell for shit and you get up and you automatically put yourself into a hold? Is that very interesting as from a fan's perspective?
No.
Okay. I'm not, like I said, from where I came from, if you didn't sell, you get chopped. If you did not promo correctly, you didn't get chopped, you just got ripped a new one. It's quite, you know, quite frankly, dude, there's some people that enjoy it because why? It became the fraternity that believes in themselves. That's great. I'm not saying anything negative towards that. However, when you have somebody who trains these people who is not a credible name, is trying to fix that. But at the same token, here's a life lesson for you. When you get roasted in a WWE locker room, do not ever claim someone's name that's not incredible. Just say, I'm trained by this, you know, whatever. If you were to say the following, like, and this is another thing, conduct yourself professionally in a WWE locker room. I'm going to throw that out there.
I'm going to add a little bit of 2 cents on this. I'm sorry, I'm kind of interrupting here. But
you're fine.
No matter which locker room you are in,
even if it's one that sucks, correlate yourself professionally and not and also be respectful to the guys who paved the way before you.
Exactly, because
and one thing that grinds my gears, if you are a professional wrestler on the indie scene, not all wrestling promotions pay you. Some of them will try to. 99% of new coming indie wrestlers have to know this. You have to sell merch unless you are a big name in the actually, any guy like Sami Callihan, like an AR Fox, like a Michael Elgin. Keep going, the list goes on and on. If you are a new guy in the business, merch is the way you get money.
Oh, yeah, which brings me from the point from last week.
Do not rely on somebody else or maybe a driving buddy or a guy you rode with to give you money. You make your own money. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's the number one rule. The indies, he's right. You shouldn't rely on people for money, depending on your situation. Like, it pissed me the fuck off, like I told you last week. Not to piggyback off of last week's rant, but a certain somebody did that, and it made me glare really badly, because not only, you know, my friend who works his ass off in the ring gets to, you know, work and bust his ass for the fans, and we may get paid a small payday, but that's not the reason you should be in this business. It's not all about money, which is my next tirade. You should not be in this business if it's all about the money. That's the, if you want to be greedy, great. You know, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, they mastered that, dude. But not only were they money guys, they entertained the fans. And even though I said, if you, you know, Kevin Nash at his Hall of Fame induction speech at WrestleMania 31, if you think I did this all for the money, you were probably right. He's the only guy, only worker, aside from Scott Hall and maybe a few others that can say they did it for the money, that can get away with it. If you are an indie wrestler and you think that just because you put on a pair of boots or a gimmick that that makes you a professional wrestler, let me tell you all something. No, the fuck it does not. What makes you a professional wrestler or a manager, let me tell you, does. It's guys who are humble, they keep their mouths shut, and they bust their ass for the promotion that they work for, and they go on and they do bigger and badder things because they have goals. Like my, like our guest earlier tonight, Kurt Gannon. He is an example of a man, a true man, not a boy, a man who not only had to bust his ass to get where he's at in certain promotions like SICW, and maybe future bigger things that I'm not allowed to divulge on behalf of my client because out of respect. Respect is another word that I'm going to... Go ahead.
Buff, I'm adding to. For those of you new indie wrestling guys, wearing a pair of boots and a pair of tights ain't going to say you're a professional wrestler. It's called, in this business, it's called paying your dues. How this works, it's not like you're sitting there being like, oh, I wrestled, I'm guaranteed money. No, it's called paying your dues. I mean, I can name guys from the get-go, Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe. They will sit there and tell you, because for the first year in Ring of Honor, they were not paid a dime, but they came to the shows and set up the ring, set up all the chairs,
the amazing part about this thing,
It's called paying your dues and being able to be a man about certain something. And you know what's weird? If I message, you're like, okay, I'm going to touch on this base. Speaking of going to a wrestling school and having etiquette and paying respects or whatever, that's great. You know, the person I roasted last week, it's weird, you know, to get a message and saying, oh, I'm just replying to you. Well, you know something? It kind of irked a nerve in me while I was in the Bronx watching my boys kick the Sox ass, by the way. But it irks a nerve when someone has delayed reaction saying, oh, I was at this place. You know what, prima donna motherfucker? All I'm going to say is, if you – I get it. I get responses don't come right away. I understand that logic because responding to people who, after all, fucked you over still carries over into this conversation. The people at the school that I once attended, I have some levels of respect for and some levels where I don't. And that is the school that made me know you didn't make the character B-Train. I did. I basically say this. I have respect, but at the same time I have my discretions. And I go about my discretions like this. I was, you know, for the people that I tell the truth to and you go behind my back, that's fine. Because like I told Jake, like I told Kurt, this is not a friendship business. This is a business business. But the funny part is, at the school that I once attended, Extreme Wrestling Center, you know, it's kind of irritating because if I tell you the truth and yet here you are telling me that it's not okay for the way I present it, it's all about presentation, yet from what I've observed, this is my thing. You cannot tell me that you're training managers out there because you're not. If you're going to train managers, we should be doing promos all practice fucking long. We should be doing certain things like learning commentary, how to edit video, how to try our hand at making phone calls for our wrestlers, learning legitimized things. I mean, these are things I'm getting off my chest. When you go to a wrestling school, you should be getting your money's worth. You should not be – I literally, Jake, and I'm just going to say this outright, I had fun taking pictures for the school and getting the school exposure, but at the same time, was I really learning anything as a manager? Fuck no. Because I hate to say it, my mouth gets me in trouble, but at the same time, didn't spout off, I would really go fucking crazy. And that's the same thing, you know. I left on a good note, and I was up and down with that school a lot. I loved it at times, and I hated it at times. And I would say the etiquette at that school, it's just like if you ever had a spoiled relative who gets everything he or she wants, and the minute you tell them that that's wrong, yeah, that's basically how I feel. Am I bitter about it? You can say it soured me a little bit. Am I mad at certain people? Yes. Did I get an opportunity? No. To air my grievances? Nope. Because it ended up being a fucking witch hunt some of the time. You know, as far as, let's have B-Train, you know, on wrestler's court because that's the only way he can air his grievances. Fuck you. That's all I'm going to say. That's how I feel.
Okay. I'll have to cut you off right here. I have like 30 seconds to do this. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys want to go, head over to the Wrestle Radio Network page, order a couple T-shirts. Our website will be live October 10th. I'll be available. I'll have the official link here soon. I'm going to go out and support indie wrestling. That's basically how we're going to go with this. We will be back next week at our normal time, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. We had a rough night through baseball and stuff we had to do. Thank you very much for joining us. I will be back here next week on Wrestle Radio. I thank Kurt Gainer for coming on, being with us tonight. And we will see everybody next week right here on Wrestle Radio.
All right. Catch y'all later. On the flip side, have a nice day. If you don't believe in what we're telling you, we've got three choice words for you. Forget about it.
Forget about it.